You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. We know there have been many fires near Yosemite this summer, but the whole park is back open now, and thousands of people will be camping and backpacking there this Labor Day weekend. People like KALW's Lisa Morehouse and Marissa Ortega-Welch.
So it's like these two big metal gates, and you close this one first.
Marissa is an avid camper. Lisa is a little rusty.
And then you squeeze.
In Yosemite and many other parks with bears, you can't just leave your food out on the picnic table or in your car overnight. You have to put it in this contraption called a bear locker.
Okay, I'm going to put my whole toiletry kit in there. This is food. Oh, that has the whiskey.
Anything with a scent has to be stored in a bear-proof container. Now, the problem of bears wanting to eat human food in places like Yosemite, it's a problem we humans created. And for decades, people have been inventing solutions like this bear locker to try to solve it. For the podcast California Foodways, Marissa and Lisa are in Yosemite to tell us the story.
We're out on patrol in Yosemite Valley with Ryan Leahy.
Yosemite 871.
Good afternoon, 4
Leahy looks kind of like a cop. Sunglasses, a uniform with a vest full of pockets. He's armed with a radio and binoculars. Leahy's a biologist. He's patrolling for bears.
There are up to 500 bears in the park. Leahy and his team have put GPS and radio collars on a handful of them.
Essentially, they have a radio frequency and we have the receiver. In your car, you tune to 104.1 and classic rock, but here you get a different bear.
He's tracking a bear who's getting a little too close to a campground.
The one we slept in last night.
The bear's pretty close to here, too.
There's plenty of natural food for bears to eat in Yosemite, but they've learned that swiping coolers and grocery bags is just easier. So Leahy and his team monitor the bears to try to keep them from ever getting a taste.
871, 875 on common.
I'm getting called on the radio, sorry.
Did you copy that traffic about the potential cub in Bridalville campground?
Negative.
Okay, yeah, they just called and said...
A different bear and its cub have been seen in a campground an hour and a half away.
I'm getting another call, too.
And it turns out there's even another bear down here in the valley. He's got to get on this fast.
I guess I'm surprised to hear that you would respond so quickly.
You wait a couple days. By then, the bear might have gotten food 5 times or 10 times or jumped on someone's picnic table, you know? If there's a bear in the campground in the middle of the day going after human food, it's not going to get a lot better real quick. It's going to probably get worse fast.
Okay, so now he's got 3 different bears to deal with.
Oh, man.
We pull over into a parking lot so we can talk to his boss. Maybe a bad idea. Turns out, when you look official in a big truck, you're a sitting duck for tourist questions. This guy wants to know where Half Dome is. You know, the giant granite monolith visible from most places in the valley?
Half Dome is right over here. You can't miss it. After you take a left at the stop sign, look to your right on the bridge, you'll see Half Dome. It's huge.
More than 4 million people visit Yosemite each year, most only for a day. Many are first-timers. They don't even know their way around, let alone how to behave in bear country.
And what these tourists also don't realize is Leahy is a bear biologist. He's got to go and drive to the other end of the park to keep these bears from getting into people's food.
This is the reality of bears and humans trying to coexist in Yosemite.
So how'd we get here?
In the early 1900s, tourists started visiting Yosemite year-round.
The Yosemite Valley is a magnificent gorge about 7 miles long and averaging a mile in width.
This was a time before garbage trucks, before plastic garbage bags.
Oh, it was crazy. So they would have a dump, and that's where the garbage would go.
Rachel Mazur's chief of wildlife for Yosemite. She says the bears quickly figured out that they could go to the dump and eat campers' food scraps. And then the people running businesses in the park figured out they could make money off of tourists who'd love to see bears up close and personal.
They'd put bleachers up, bus people in, have on spotlights, and you'd have 10, 20, 30 bears in there feeding off the trash, but also fighting each other.
and basically becoming conditioned to humans and our food. The dumps drew bears out of the wilderness into Yosemite Valley, and they started reproducing in larger numbers because they got so many calories from human food.
The bears are very popular with park visitors and often are seen near the highways.
Too popular. People got too close to bears and got injured. The park ended all bear feeding shows in the 40s and closed the dumps in 1970.
But you can't just close dumps and expect these bears that are food conditioned and used to humans to just sort of disappear back into the forest. You know, they picked up all these ideas. And so that's when they went really, and we really had a lot of human-wildlife conflict. So what'd they do? They went to the campgrounds. You know, they went to the housing areas. They went into the cars. They went into the trash. And so, and there were injuries happening. And so the rangers were killing bears left and right. Nobody really knew what to do.
Killing bears. For a while in the 70s, that was the park's main response to what they called nuisance bears.
A lot of park employees wanted to figure out a way to keep bears wild and away from human food. So they started experimenting.
They created special lids for garbage cans and metal lockers for campers to store their food, with latches so complicated they were sure bears couldn't get in.
But bears are super smart. They kept figuring out a way in. For better bear-proofing, rangers added carabiners to latches and created new locker design.
Before Mazur worked in Yosemite, she wrote a book about the history of these inventions. She says the bear lockers were a great idea for the car campgrounds, but by the late 60s, the start of the environmental movement, people started going backpacking.
You had all these people out there going all over the place, having a great time, exploring, but all of them bringing food, and they didn't have a place to store it.
George Durkee was there.
I'm reliving my youth here.
He worked as a backcountry ranger in the woods behind Half Dome.
Hundreds of people came to camp in this small area, and the bears started coming too.
So you would get 5 or 10 people minimum having their food taken every night.
People who were about to set out for weeks-long trips on the John Muir Trail. Some started using their food as pillows.
And on the one hand, you want to say, okay, this is natural selection at work, but, you know, you don't want people to get hurt.
Other backpackers fought back. Durkee remembers how one guy chased a bear that ran off with his food sack.
And it was, you know, it was one of those cartoon moments. You just sort of see the bear suddenly realizing, wait a minute, I'm a 200-pound bear. I don't have to put up with this.
Durkee says the bear turned around and swatted the guy across the chest.
So again, Durkee and other rangers started experimenting with different ways to hang food away from bears' reach. But bears dropped down from tree limbs to knock down food bags. The park even helicoptered heavy bear lockers into the backcountry.
So, you know, it's just one thing after another, trying to stay ahead of the wily bears.
They tried everything, Rachel Mazur says.
So finally, this idea of the canister came about.
The bear canister. A portable, cylindrical container that holds about 5 days of food, something bears cannot open.
It looks sort of like a drum. These days, anyone backpacking in Yosemite must use one. And we want to go backpacking.
So before we do, we have to go to a busy ranger station to pick up a permit and have Lisa rent a bear canister.
Have you used one of these before?
No. Can you walk me through it?
Yeah.
The ranger tells us to put anything with a scent in the bear canister.
So what are, so all toiletries?
Yeah, all toiletries. Anything that you can put on your body or in your body has to go in the bear can.
Chapstick.
Deodorant.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole history to these canisters.
Rachel Mazur says it started in the 70s when a researcher studying bears in Yellowstone was attacked by a grizzly.
And he was just horribly mauled all over his face and required dozens of stitches.
Later, watching a nature show on TV, he saw a frustrated lion pawing an ostrich egg, but its shape kept the lion out.
And he just had this aha moment, like, what if we could do something like that?
Rangers and researchers in Yosemite made prototypes, testing them on bears at the Fresno Zoo.
And then there's the other side of it. Can humans open it? Can they fit their food in it?
The best designed canisters are easy for people to use, but keep bears out, even though a few really smart bears have created workarounds.
like this one who rolled canisters off a cliff to break them open.
And then climbed down the side of the cliff to get the contents. Everybody, I know, it just drives us nuts.
The park had to close that area off from camping. The people on Mazur's team sometimes relocate young bears that have become conditioned to human food. Sometimes they still resort to killing, especially relentless bears.
Mazur says it's the bears who pay the ultimate price for our food problem. That's what's driven rangers and researchers over all these years to make these bear-proofing inventions.
The canister, the locker, I mean, all of those things were basically invented here in Yosemite.
Was the problem invented here too?
I would say the problem was not invented here, but we sure did a good job of making it a tough one.
Even once the park knew that the canisters and lockers worked, it took decades to put that infrastructure in place and get visitors with the program.
With all these bear stories in mind, we're finally ready to go backpacking? Marissa shows Rachel Mazur the canister we're taking with us, this one that looks like a giant see-through pill bottle. It turns out she actually came up with the idea for this one.
We want to call it the Rachel now.
That's not easy. I guess that's the point.
We're at the trailhead. Lisa packs and locks the bear canister we're now calling the Rachel.
If I have a hard time doing it, hopefully a bear can't do it.
As Marissa helps me get it into my pack, I realize why some backpackers really don't like this thing and wish it weren't a requirement to carry. It's way bigger than my sleeping bag.
And your sleeping bag is squishy,
right?
Which this is not. You are struggling to get that in your pack.
I am really struggling.
And I struggle to get the pack on, too.
And then kind of roll into it.
Ooh. Oh, that's not nothing.
We hike past a lake, find a place to camp for the night. We make dinner.
Spaghetti with pesto.
Then we clean up the dishes.
Yeah, I'm licking it off with my finger, frankly, because it's pesto.
Pesto. Food of the gods.
And I have to drink the pasta water so we don't leave a trace of food.
I feel like I helped drink the pasta water, too.
Okay.
Then we put everything back in the bear canister.
That's it.
The next morning, we wake up, and there it is, perfectly untouched.
Untouched.
It's sitting here in the morning sunlight.
Like a little sentinel.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I kind of get it.
With tons of education and enforcement and requiring bear lockers and these canisters, Yosemite's really reduced their human bear incidence from a high of 1,500 a year to under 50 now.
That frees park employees to focus on something other than bears, reintroducing endangered species, restoring sensitive habitat. But they have to stay on top of bear management. They can't afford to let it backslide.
As we drive out of the park, we stop in Tuolumne Meadows and meet up with Emily Johnson, a volunteer for the bear crew. She's out enforcing rules with campers.
I'm Emily. I'm with Wildlife. Just want to make sure that your bear box is closed. Okay, yeah, the rule is just to treat it like a fridge.
Okay.
So when you're getting into it, you open it, and then you just close and latch it when you walk away. Anything that could potentially attract the bear, he's literally across the river, and we just had to chase him out like an hour ago.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
After that?
Another thing we do that is so fun, we have to check to make sure that the dumpsters are clipped and closed and they're not dysfunctional.
You know, the glamorous tasks of Yosemite's bear crew.
Woohoo! It's good stuff. This is the majority of my job.
This is?
Yeah, pretty much. It's the people. They're the problem. It's not the bears.
Because, she says, we're in their home. In Yosemite, I'm Marissa Ortega-Welch.
And I'm Lisa Morehouse.
For Cross Currents.